and it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. How are you? It is Friday. Good morning. And this has a new resonance, man. This has a new resonance for me. I say this every Friday. I'm still amazed now that I have a job. That happens on a day-to-day basis, Riley, that Friday is meaningful. I'm excited.
You're excited about Friday?
I am excited about Friday.
You're excited about the food.
The food is coming from City Bakery maybe later today. I'm also excited about the possibility that soon we get closer each day to me being able to have a big cup of stem cell smoothie every morning. Yes, that's right. Man, I want to beat death. And look at this. There's stories today that says that we might get closer to that, but not in this country. This is the interesting thing. Is that embryos were cloned in South Korea.
South Korea.
They were able to take actual cells and DNA material from individuals and make stem cells that fit that particular individual. This is a tremendous step in the direction of using this regenerative science to possibly help people with spinal cord injuries, with Parkinson's disease. They don't even know the spectrum of help that stem cells could provide. And, of course, here at the White House, of course, George Bush is trying to veto a bill that would expand public funding for embryonic stem cell research because this administration, along a sort of religiously retarded lines, believes, quite frankly, that little wads of cells have souls, which is crazy.
Well, yeah, and people need to realize exactly what the South Koreans did here. They took cloned human embryos from people who have existing medical problems and created these clones that are theoretically perfect. So they can take stuff from the stem cells and replace the problem tissue in the people with the medical problem.
In the specific patient, right.
Yeah.
They pulled DNA material from the sick person and made stem cells, stem cell lines, small stem cell lines. I think they managed to get 11 stem cell lines out of a potential 30 that they tried to put back into that particular patient who was sick. This is an amazing breakthrough that happened in South Korea.
Yeah.
Because here we're trying to make the roads dirt again. And there's another article I hear from Wired magazine. Well, along the same lines is that there are some medical people that are trying to present a different argument to religious fanatics who believe that wads of cells are somehow possessing a soul. This is an interesting thing, Riley, because there's a guy. This dude, Hurlbut.
William Hurlbut.
Yes. Who says he's advocating that there are these things called teratomas. I'm sorry, I know it's morning. This is a little graphic. Right, a teratoma is a naturally occurring tumor that actually grows from an egg or a sperm cell. Okay, it's like an embryo, all right, but it does not have the right balance of genes to create a fully integrated organism. So it grows, it's just a wad of teeth and hair and skin and maybe a couple organs, but theoretically it doesn't grow into a person. So he's saying, look, this goes through an embryonic development, so there's some stem cells here. We should draw from this and look for these things. I'm sorry, Kalo, is that too gross? It's a little gross, but believe me, there's going to be some religious fanatics out there who are going to say, let the tumor live. Look at it. It has teeth. It might be able to eat someday. Let it live. These are the options that scientists have to take because we are in a country that is being dominated by, on some ideological level, by religious fanatics who are dictating that science must be limited. But there's hope in South Korea, okay? And you want to wonder why America is losing some steam on the broader level. It's not just outsourcing. It's because there are people in the Congress and in this country that believe retarding science in the name of religion is the way to go, Riley.
Well, I'm beginning to wonder, Marin, and I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist, but I'm beginning to wonder if there aren't people in this country who just don't want people to live too long, period. Look, you're 72, it's your time.
Yeah.
Forget about stem cells. Die.
We need turnover.
We need turnover.
Look, older people aren't buying as much as the young people. Once we deplete them of their savings through life support systems or whatever medical, pharmaceuticals, however we draw all the money out of their existing accounts, this is big business, right? Let them die. Here's another thing. A pregnant student. This is a great story.
Yeah, it is.
This woman, Alicia Cosby, was pregnant, was to graduate. She was sent home from school. She can no longer attend classes at a Catholic school. She's a Catholic, a Roman Catholic high school.
In Alabama.
Yeah, they told her to go home. You can't come to class anymore. You're too pregnant. And they said that she couldn't participate in graduation. This is a Catholic high school. These are the same people that say that a wad of cells has a soul. These are the same people that say that abortion is a sin and murder. These are the same people that are telling a young pregnant woman who theoretically, in the eyes of their ideology, is doing the right thing by having the child.
Yeah.
And disallowing her, saying you can't come to graduation because you're a bad example, you're pregnant, you know, we don't want people to see that. They let the guy that knocked her up go.
Yeah, they let the guy that knocked her up go, and they also had her mother and aunt escorted out of the church where they were having the ceremonies by the police after she went back to her seat. This is absolutely...
Well, we should say that she showed up
and
went up onto the podium.
After everyone else had gone, she went on her own.
Announced her own name and went back and sat down.
That's Stones. I like that. What do they call it? Chutzpah?
Yeah, chutzpah.
Yeah, chutzpah. That's what that is. And see, had she had an abortion, I guess she could have gone to the graduation at the Catholic school.
If she didn't tell anybody.
Exactly.
And here's another one. A cardinal, this is Cardinal William Keeler, told Loyola College of Maryland yesterday that he will not attend its commencement ceremony tomorrow because he disagrees with the keynote speaker, who is
Rudy Giuliani,
who supports abortion rights.
Yes.
So you see what's going on here, that we have on one side, we have these great stories coming out of South Korea that there's been amazing progress made abroad in science. Yet these are the kind of battles that are being fought, you know, petty little battles in this country that stop progress because of extreme religious beliefs.
Here's my question for Cardinal Keeler. Mm-hmm. Would you do the same thing if President Bush was going because he sent people off to die in Iraq? And, of course, there is a commandment that says thou shalt not kill. Would you say I am not going to this graduation because this man prosecuted a war that the Pope opposed? Is going to be speaking there? I don't think so.
No, they don't think about that. They think that, killing in the name of America or in the name of Jesus is fine.
Well, they don't say, the commandment does not say, thou shalt not kill unless the government says it's okay. Mm-hmm. That's not what it says. It says simply, thou shalt not kill.
And speaking of war and speaking of graduation and speaking of kids coming into the world, the generation that came of age after September 11th, this is, kids about half my age, I guess. What do you think their biggest fear is?
Is it terrorism?
No, it's not, Riley.
Is it fear of flying?
No, it's actually fear of debt.
Fear
of debt. When asked what they're most fearful of at this time, in the time of, their graduating age, only 13.4% said a terrorist attack. 32.4% answered going deeply into debt. And 31.2% said just being unemployed. So the idea of terrorism, much more frightening than that, is the idea of debt, because most kids enter the world of college in debt. They start out in debt, they stay in debt, and they can't get out of debt. Now there's no way to declare personal bankruptcy because of the new laws passed by this legislation, that you can't even get help when you do go into debt. So basically these people are slaves. It's a feudal system. They enter the world of slaves, and only a few of them, most of them who start off with some money, because they come from
trust fund babies,
are going to transcend.
Well, it's funny because the other day, Bob Herbert, the op-ed columnist from the New York Times, who we had as a guest, did a column about the fact that young people in the employment marketplace, those who are working, are finding themselves trapped at a certain level and unable to rise up the ladder because, of course, there are older workers that are above them. Something scares me about this, man. I'm afraid, being part of the baby boom generation, these kids are going to show up one day and just blow us away and take over our show. Look, your time is up.
They might not need to blow us away. Someone might just make a decision.
I know.
No one needs to come in here.
Hey, blow us away. They haven't thought about it.
In Garfield High School, this is in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
The school is like one of the only one in the nation to actually have a debate and vote against military recruiting on high school campuses. This is happening in some college campuses, of course, the Bush administration trying to, threatening. There's a case that's going to go to the Supreme Court to decide whether or not, when a school decides not to allow recruiters onto the campus, whether or not the government can deny it of funds, thus basically coercing it to have recruiters on campus. This is an amazing story, too, because these are parents who are basically saying, you know, look, you can't just come in here and farm our kids out. You can't just come in here and use our kids to send them to war, war that we don't agree in. There's a recruitment station down the street. If they're interested, they can go down the street check into that.
See, what parents are reacting to is the fact that they are still trying to lure people into the American military with the promise of learning a skill, with the promise of getting a good job when you get out. And the fact of the matter is that a lot of people that are going into the service now aren't learning a skill except to shoot people.
Right.
And that's in Iraq.
And oddly, today is no recruiting day. They're taking a hiatus. Army military recruiters are taking a hiatus day to sort of shift their strategy because there's been accusations that many of them are in order to make these quotas, are recruiting people that are physically incapable, mentally incapable. They're tricking them. They're telling them how to lie and cheat on exams, how to provide false information. They're doing anything they can to make this quota.
How to beat a drug test.
That's right. And, you know, coming up next, we had Jimmy Massey on while back, who tells us a little bit about the horrors of the transgressions that recruiters make. That's next year on Air America Radio, 17 past the hour.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. You're listening to Morning Sedition.
Hey, come on, wake up. Wake up.
Call us at 866-303-2270.
Why? I don't know why.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
I'm listening.
Now, 800-337-0447. 800-337-0447. 800-337-0447.
Hey, what's going on? 20 past the hour, 21 past the hour, actually. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yo.
It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We're just talking about, we're talking about a couple of things. One of the things that we're talking about is that most high school students, more than terrorism, fear going deeply into debt or being unemployed. And now we're finding that, you know, if they want to pursue a career in science, they might have to leave this country and go to South Korea, where they made an incredible advance in stem cell research by pulling DNA from actual sick people, from patients, and cloning some embryonic stem cells from that patient so it's specific to that patient and can be used to treat that patient. Of course, some people in this country are retarding our scientific progress with religious belief. We are talking about, you know, Army recruitment. But before we get into that, let's talk to Roxy listening in Seattle. How are you, Roxy? What's on your mind?
Hi, Roxy.
I had to get into this.
Yeah.
I have the prequel to your Temple of Doom.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. The reason that the church decided long ago, the Pope, I mean, it was under consideration for a long time, when does the soul enter the body? And it was very important because you understand it's all... everything is based on war between God and Satan, and it's like body count, you know, in war, only it's soul count. And so they had to determine when a person dies, when it can be, you know,
when are we winning is basically what you're
saying. Exactly. And even if it's a tumor that's an artificial, you know, that's it's a cancerous fertilized egg, you can still baptize it.
No, come on. You can't baptize one of these tetranomas or whatever they call it.
I bet you could.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's
but you could find a clergyman that would.
That's right. I bet you could find one.
Right. But Roxy, my question is that when do you deal with the idea of predestination in terms of, like, if you're going to accept that, not you, but in general, someone is going to accept that a wad of cells has a soul, maybe the predestiny.
You know, Mark, it's much too big for us. It's God's will.
Right, yeah, but that may be true, Roxy. What I'm saying is maybe the actual destiny of that particular wad of cells that is a soul.
Now you're talking Buddhism.
Would be to help many more people.
Absolutely. But see, that doesn't matter because they've already been born. They have the chance to choose, born again in the case of the Christian rite, or, you know, be baptized and confirmed in the Holy Communion and all that in the case of Catholics. So they have the choice. A mother who is pregnant, canon law. There's a really good book called, an old book from the 60s called American Freedom and Catholic Power.
Sure.
And it says, okay, if a mother is pregnant and she is absolutely sure to die if she carries the baby to term.
Yeah.
and the baby will not be born alive, then you could consider with, you know, after you consult all the doctors and the and whoever, you know, the clergy and everything, you might be able to abort that mother.
So you'd have to write the Pope, figure out, talk to the bishop.
Exactly.
All
yeah,
right.
But if there's any chance that the baby could be born alive and baptized, then there's no choice. See, she's a good Catholic mom. She's going to heaven.
Right, right. All right, thanks for your call, Roxy.
Thanks, Roxy.
Thank you for engaging us in the sort of eons-old argument of when, you know, when it actually happens. What is the point where the soul enters the body? But the idea that a teratoma, these tumors that are not going to grow into any sort of congealed human or physical organism, might be baptized or kept alive. Just look, it's a wad of teeth, but they're chattering. There's no reason to kill it.
Yeah. But, it's amazing, Mark, because you have this discussion and debate on a religious level on the one hand, on a scientific level on the other hand, and on a political level on the third hand. And that's where you've got Bush and these people who have denied federal funding to embryonic stem cell research and, you know, the possibility that the Congress may end up changing that up a little.
But I don't see how, perhaps, why are you screwing around with predestination if you believe in that kind of thing? Maybe this wad of cells that you believe has a soul was meant to help many people through the stem cells available to it. Maybe that was it. Why are you interrupting God's process? Why isn't science part of that? If it is supposed to be about keeping life going, about helping people, why isn't an exception made for this type of science? I mean, it's just a general question I'm asking myself, and I know there are people that sit around and think about this and talk about this and write about this for hours and hours on end, you know, within colleges, within the church, but, you know, we don't have time to go into that now. We actually... What we are talking about and what we were talking about and what we're going to talk about is recruitment tactics. Now, today is officially a day off for Army recruiters.
Yes, Army recruiters all across the country.
To regroup because...
Retrain.
They're desperate and they've taken desperate actions. They, you know, because of quotas, they've recruited people that are physically incapable of performing. They've recruited people that are mentally incapable. They've taught people how to cheat and lie in order to recruit them. And we actually have some evidence of that. Now, Jimmy Mass, who talked to us a while back. It was a Marine recruiter.
Yeah.
But he tells a tale to Wayne Gelman, because you were out.
Yeah.
That was pretty disturbing, and he felt very guilty about
that. A scary tale it was, and you'll hear it when we come back on Air America Radio.
Join the morning sedition. Right now, call 866-303-2270.
What?
That's 866-303-2270.
You don't know until you've tried this.
Morning sedition on Air America Radio.
Damn good.
Air America Radio.
The revolution starts now.
Past the hour, Mark Mariner with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. Looking forward to the Dog of the Week, Riley.
Yeah.
That's coming up. Right now, we got, we're going to play that Jimmy Massey piece of dialogue that we had with him. You weren't here. It was me and Wayne Gelman.
Yeah.
He's feeling pretty guilty about some of the tactics he used to recruit soldiers into Marines. Today is hiatus day.
Hiatus day
for,
in the Army, yeah.
For recruiting, because they got to regroup, because they'll do anything to get people in, and we're going to reveal that in terms of the Marines with Jimmy Massey. But first, you know, when you read the headlines, it can be tough to figure out just exactly what the mainstream media is saying. So luckily we have this machine, this iNews 5000 headline translator that does that for us. So let's crank it up. Feed it some headlines. All right, buddy. What happened? No?
Was that the ending?
No. You feed some headlines. That's it. Is it the ending?
No, it is. That might be the ending.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Hey, that was pretty astute there, Kalo.
Wow, man, I hear Brendan singing, and I'm like, oh, here we go. All right, here we go. From the New York Times, U.S. Airways and America West plan to merge. U.S. Airways and America West plan to merge. Translation, merged airlines adopt new slogan, now experiencing major delays nationwide. From Fox News, First Lady says airspace violation worth interrupting Bush's bike ride. First Lady says airspace violation worth interrupting Bush's bike ride. Translation, First Lady seeks to stem tide of stupid bike accidents. Feed that back in. First Lady says airspace violation worth interrupting Bush's bike ride. First Lady says potential Armageddon more important than daily endorphin rush.
Hey,
all right. From Reuters, final Star Wars film leaked to internet. Final Star Wars film leaked to internet. Translation, hackers say they won't let you masturbate at the Cineplex. Oh, there's some people in the car with their kids that have some sneezing to do.
Oh.
All right, anyways, here we go. We're going to get into this. Jimmy Massey, a frequent guest on our show a while back, he'd been on a couple of times, was a Marine recruiter. And he was telling us, now you understand that some of these recruiters have done, they've made some serious concessions to meet their quota. They encourage people to lie. They have enrolled people, enlisted people with medical problems, with mental problems, with serious chronic health disorders, just to meet their quota. And the Army's hurting right now.
Oh, yeah.
They're the guys who are, you know, right up front in the, you know, the stuff over there in Iraq.
In Iraq, and most American kids know this already.
Yes. So let's hear former Staff Sergeant Jimmy Massey on Morning Sedition.
You feel guilty about anything? You want to confess anything? In terms of, did you walk away from this job with any particular story in your head that you felt bad about?
Yeah, there was a young man mm-hmm. who was out in a little town called Murphy, North Carolina. He had a neurological disorder. We knew that. We went ahead and signed him up anyways and told him to lie about his medical. I didn't even think the young man was going to be able to make it through the MEPS because of his physical condition. He did make it through MEPS, and we shipped him off to boot camp. The drill instructors didn't, as soon as he stepped off the bus, noticed him and pulled him off to the side, and he never even made it that far, any further in the Marine Corps. Then they discharged him out. They said that he was a fraudulent enlistment. He came back home. The Congressman Charles Taylor office conducted an investigation on it and ruled that this young man lied about his medical condition, but I felt bad about it because we're the ones that told him to lie about it.
That's sick.
That last voice you heard was Wayne Gilman. He was filling in for Riley. He's our newsman here at the station. Now we've got someone who's got a personal experience with this directly, a caller from Baltimore listening to XM. Good morning, Ryan. What's on your mind there?
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, I was just going to the Army, I guess it was a couple of years ago,
Yeah. And
I told the recruiter I had asthma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had the inhaler, I go to the doctor every couple of months. I mean, it's a serious case of asthma, it's chronic.
Yeah.
Well, he told me, don't worry about it, just don't write it down on your application, we'll work through it, just keep your inhaler on you when you're on the field, you'll be fine.
Wow.
So I just reasoned, well, my inhaler works, it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I still checked it on my resume because I wanted to double check and make sure I wasn't going to, like that guy had, where he got charged with fraudulent activity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by the time they got done the medical test, they told me basically I can't breathe right.
Yeah.
So if I actually got in the military, in the Army, I would have died.
Yeah, you could have died during training.
During basic, yeah.
Right.
Wow, man. So they.
My question is, what kind of regulation do they have to do this?
What kind of regulation do they have to do it?
It's not a regulation, Ryan. It's called a quota.
Yeah. That's the whole issue. That's why they're taking a break today, and there's been so many reports of this kind of stuff, exactly what you went through. And it's, it's evil. It's cruel. It's insensitive, and it should be illegal. Obviously, the standards are what they are for a reason, but these guys are so desperate to get people in that they overlook things that are dangerous to people's health and could be deadly.
I mean, what would be the point if I go out, let's say I go to Iraq, it's extremely dry,
yeah.
And when it does rain, it gets extremely humid. Those are the two conditions that kill asthmatics.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. You're absolutely right. Thanks for your call, buddy.
Thanks for the call, Ryan.
Well, that's why these, like, this was an amazing story to me, is that this guy, Steve Ludwig, who's a, this was at Garfield High School in Seattle, where they had the big debate. They tried to create a referendum, I guess, to stop these recruiters from coming onto the campus. It is going to the Supreme Court to figure out whether or not the U.S. government can withhold funds from schools that deny recruiters access to their to the bounty of their children to send to war. And this is a father, Steve Ludwig, whose son is a senior at Garfield High School in Seattle, basically said he made a point, and this was shared by apparently many of the people in attendance, that Garfield does not allow organizations to promote illegal activities, to recruit students to perform those activities, nor does it allow organizations that discriminate on the basis of race, gender, or national origin, or sexual orientation to recruit on campus. Planned Parenthood, as far as I know, he says, does not advocate or perform illegal acts. The U.S. Army does. Mr. Ludwig continued, and this guy, you know, is a soft-spoken guy, apparently, a nice guy, says, what I object to is they're coming here to recruit students to perform those acts. You know, and he says it's not about, you know, free speech. You know, he's talking that this desperation, that, you know, they don't, he doesn't mind if someone from the military comes and talks about, creates a debate to talk about the justification of war, or what war means, or any of that, or educating people. But this is just about pilfering their kids and conning them at all costs to go to war.
You know, I did not know until just a couple of minutes ago that there is a part of the No Child Left Behind Act that requires schools that receive federal funding, which is essentially every public school in the nation, to release the names of its students to recruiters, to military recruiters. Can you imagine that? I mean, it's one thing if you say, all right, well, college, you know, college recruiters or whatever. But to say that in order to receive federal funding under No Child Left Behind, you must release the name. Because, you know, there was an issue some years back here in New York, Mark, where people, you know, they were looking at, I believe it was high school yearbook stuff or something.
Uh-huh.
And they were looking to recruit people into the armed forces. The whole, you know, get a job, learn how to, And, you know, people resisted. And apparently it's now written into the law that they have to do this.
Well, you know, there was a time, I think, where people were young people wanted to join the Army over anything else in the world. I remember hearing those stories, certainly in Vietnam and in World War II, where, you know, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds were lying to get in, getting parental approval to get in, that they were clamoring to get in because it was at that moment there was a different decision being made. I mean, this war is a little, it's a little foggy, it's a little hazy, and they're trying to con, you know, kids into believing this bill of goods that, you know, you're going to get this future training, but they need people on the ground, and they're willing to try to recruit people who are sick.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk to Brian. He's calling from New Jersey, listening to LIB 1190. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Brian.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. All right. What's on your mind?
Well, actually, I mean, I'm 23 years old. I just started teaching.
Yeah.
And you guys just touched on the No Child Left Behind Act, which was interesting to me. But also, a military recruiter at my high school, he always comes in. And they had all our classes going to the auditorium to see him the one day.
Yeah.
And I took my kids down there. And he started to get into a little spiel comparing the danger of walking out on the streets of the town that I teach in compared with walking on the streets of Iraq, and saying that, you know, they're just as safe or just as dangerous.
Hmm.
Really? Now, you're in Jersey, huh?
Yeah, Hudson County.
Oh, Hudson, because I was going to say either Passaic or Patterson, but Hudson County, what, West New York or something?
Kearney.
Oh, Kearney High.
So it's
So that was their pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, thanks.
And I would even bring up some questions. Like, I asked him, I said, well, you know, should you explain to these kids about stop loss?
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, that's a one-time thing, and that doesn't go on anymore.
Oh, yeah, sure, it doesn't. Tell some of those people that are still stuck over in Iraq, stop loss doesn't go on anymore.
Exactly. I actually have a friend who's serving on the border of Syria and Iraq right now, who was a part of Operation Matador.
Uh-huh.
And he tells me all the time about how they're, you know, the recruiters are pretty much, you know, deliberately mislead the kids, especially, you know, telling them they have hopes of, you know, moving up in the military ranks, and they're not actually going to have to serve in the infantry and things like this. But actually what it is, they have to take a test. And when they give them the test, you know, these kids don't know what they're going to do no matter what they pick.
Yeah.
And they end up getting put on the front line.
Right, now, we should say, too, that stop loss, for people who don't know what that is the policy by which you're in for a certain amount of time, and then they suddenly extend your time. You're in for a year, suddenly it becomes 18 months or 24 months.
You know, what is the solution here? It's just, where does this go? Either you don't believe that they should, be there at all, take all the, all the kids out of Iraq. Take all the, I believe that we should get out of Iraq. I believe that, we should rethink some things. But are they going to reinstate a draft if the Army can't figure out a way to recruit kids? I mean, that's even more ominous and more threatening, although it will protect the kids that really can't serve because they're sick or ill or mentally incompetent or have medical problems. And what is this story here, Riley, about the military said that would need congressional approval before putting women in new direct combat roles under a bill approved by the House committee, I guess, yesterday?
Well, what's happening here now is that there are continuing shortages of you can't even say manpower, people power, in both Iraq and in Afghanistan. It is reaching a critical level. And quiet as is kept, they've been using women in combat roles over there for the last little while.
Sure.
They don't want to say that they're actually doing it. Well, now the military would need congressional approval before putting women in new direct combat roles. This is under a bill that was approved by a House committee. Now, there's some distance between it going through committee, being passed by the House, passed by the Senate, and signed into law. But, Mark, it is yet another indication that they don't have enough people.
Well, we got a quick call, and then we're gonna go to the dog of the week in a few minutes. And we got Brenda, who is a woman in the military, I'm assuming, in Memphis. How are you, Brenda?
Hey, Brenda.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Okay, about 20 years ago, I was joined the military. I was in there for 12 years. And recruiters have been lying to people to enlist for years.
Yeah.
It's just now coming to light.
Mm-hmm.
And
how were you lied to, Brenda? What did they tell you?
I had a child. When I first joined the military, I had to give up custody of my child. But the recruiter promised me that I would be able to regain custody once I go to my first duty station. I found that to be a lie because they shipped me over to Germany, and my child, I couldn't get my child.
Oh,
I couldn't regain custody of my child. I had to go through courts after courts in order to get custody of my child, and I still couldn't get him in Germany, so my child was separated from me for 2.5 years because I had to stay over there 2.5 years.
And what did this end happily?
Yes, it did. Congressman Harold Ford.
Oh, yeah, I know him well.
I wrote him from Germany and explained my situation because even though they lied to me and said that I could have my child, they also put me on VAQ, where that means you have to stay an extra year because you have a dependent over there. They would not let me leave after my 2-year term. So I wrote Congressman Harold Ford, and he wrote back. I didn't even have time to pack my stuff. They had to ship all my stuff because as soon as he got involved, I was on the plane.
You back. There you go.
All right, thanks for your call,
Brenda.
Yeah, so this is the Army is taking a day off from recruiting to regroup and reassess their demonic process.
Let's make it a week, huh?
Next up, we've got the dog of the week, so stay with us. It's 48 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Call us at 866.
Ha! That's awesome. Go on.
303.
Wow, yes. Yes, I love it.
2270.
Oh, yeah, drop the bomb. Drop it. There's not a dry eye in the house. Keep going.
That's 866-303-2270.
Okay, well, just so you know, it was good, but I was also being pretty generous.
This is Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
You wait for 30 days. Call now, 1-800-900-2657. That's 1-800-900-2657.
Past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Support equal marriage rights for same-sex couples. Thousands of people will cross the Brooklyn Bridge Sunday morning as part of New York State's largest pro-marriage rally of the year. Go to www.theweddingmarch.com for information. If you'd like to podcast Morning Sedition, go to morningsedition.com for details. You can email us there, too, at sedition@airamericaradio.com. Now, you know what time it is, Mark Riley?
What time is it?
It is time for...
Woo!
Mark Riley's
dog of the week.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Mark, you know, it may not be cool to hate on Donald Trump. So many people and so many Americans seem to get wrapped up in his main vehicle for slimy self-promotion, that TV show The Apprentice, which I've never seen, thankfully. Yet when it comes to the dog of the week, who cares about being cool?
Mm.
Is it me, or is there something terminally tacky about putting your name on every single building you own? And now the self-appointed Donald has shown there's nothing he won't pimp for publicity. Due to an embarrassing lapse on the part of New York's elected officials, the plan for rebuilding the World Trade Center site has gone back to square one. Enter Trump, who calls the current plan for a Freedom Tower, quoting here, the worst pile of crap architecture I have seen in my entire life, end quote. He should take a long look at that reddish-orange pile of alleged hair on top of his head for crap architecture.
Yeah.
Trump's brilliant, innovative plan for Ground Zero? Rebuild the original Twin Towers. To do less, he says, gives in to the terrorists. Never mind the original Trade Center took more than a decade to fill. Never mind it was generally regarded as an architectural disaster from the minute it was finished. Never mind that many of the 9/11 victims' families hate the idea. He's Donald Trump, so his scheme gets play no matter what. Yes, this man is a genius. Why? Because he says so. And what do we say? Donald Trump, you are the Morning Sedition Dog of the Week.
Willing to exploit the dead of 9/11 to promote his television show.
Absolutely.
You know, I met that guy. I met that guy. I did Conan O'Brien, and he was the guest before me once, and I kind of took a shot at him. and it was, he came on. It was really obnoxious. The guy was on Conan O'Brien, and he starts fumbling with a condom that he had in his pocket. Literally, you know, and you know he pre-thought it. You know, he pulled the condom out of his pocket, and he's sitting there playing with it. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, wow, I didn't even know I had this. It's like, what a tasteless, classless thing to do, right? So I get on, you know, he leaves, and I get on, and I said, wow, I guess Donald doesn't know that most prostitutes carry their own condoms. I didn't even have one. And, you know, I never got any back. You know, the only guy that ever said anything about it was Bob Morton, who used to produce the Letterman
show. Sure.
I ran into him on the airplane. He says, that swag you did on Trump was hilarious. And I've been trying to get that guy to notice me for like 8 years. You know what I mean? He would never put me on Letterman, but he remembered that thing. So, Kalo, what's up, Riley? What are you saying?
No, I just was going to say, I went to the same military school as Trump. I wasn't there at the same time. He left just before I got there.
Really?
Yeah.
Were there pictures of him with a comb over as a 15-year-old? Just that little pouty, weird face with his combed hair over the top.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, you saw the Star Wars movie last night?
Yeah, that's true. Sir.
And what? What happened? Don't tell me what happened, but how was it?
Two thumbs up.
Oh, yeah?
I see Brendan in the other room covering his ears.
Going, la, 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 la.
Yeah. Yes, it was good. It was good. It was really good. I won't give anything away. All I said is, you know, the acting was terrible, but very good special effects.
You know, in a few, I just want to say that we're gonna talk about some of these revelations that are coming out about Koran abuses, but also about terrorism and financing. Loretta Napoleone is going to talk to us about just how much of the money that you spend every day might be going to terrorists, and you'd be surprised at the products that you're ingesting or using that might be funding something that Osama bin Laden is a part owner of.
Can you say gum Arabic? We will.
Six past the hour, it's Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. How are you doing, lurking conservatives? Welcome. Wake up, sheeple. It's six past the hour, as I said. Support equal marriage rights for same-sex couples. Thousands of people will cross the Brooklyn Bridge Sunday morning as part of New York State's largest pro-marriage rally of the year. Go to www.theweddingmarch.com for information. How are you feeling there, Riley?
I'm feeling great,
man.
Are
you doing some freelance research over there right now?
Well, yeah, I was just looking at a couple of stories. You realize now everybody is, all of these content providers, all these newspapers, they're charging.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. What, you mean online?
Online stuff,
It's starting to happen, huh?
Freebies. No more, folks.
Well, look, for those of you who are just tuning in or here or just getting here for the first time, here are a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. Congress may limit combat roles for women. As it stands, most female soldiers would be stationed outside Fort Dix and would only be required to point at Fort Dix and give the thumbs up to people that pass by.
Boy, that's childish.
Graduates fear debt more than terrorism. Reacting quickly, Al-Qaeda began issuing high-interest credit cards. Many more graduates feared unemployment than feared terrorism. In fact, several said they were exploring career opportunities in terrorism. Ooh. On the upside, the graduates said any terrorist attack that wiped out college loan records would be welcome. Cardinal Keeler to boycott Loyola graduation because of keynote speaker Giuliani's views on abortion. As a compromise, Giuliani quietly declined accepting Loyola's honorary doctor of abortion degree. All right. That's the Morning Sedition clip notes for this hour. So, Riley, let's talk a little bit about what's coming out now. That, you know, there's a report that the New York Times got hold of, apparently, about... You know, this was a report that that monitors. It's about the treatment of Afghani prisoners. It's a 2,000-page confidential file of the Army criminal investigation into the case of these two abused prisoners in Afghanistan, and it just goes to confirm that the climate of torture on behalf of some of these soldiers, you know, low-ranking soldiers, that was enabled by the higher-ranking soldiers and accepted by the military brass going all the way up to Rumsfeld and even the president, was everywhere.
It was everywhere, and what it speaks to, Mark, is the fact that when you have an operation like the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan, you create a particular type of culture. The military itself has its own type of culture. It's different from the way most of us live.
Yeah.
And when torture, when brutality is a part of that culture, it is sewn into the fabric of what people do. So that low-ranking people, and see, I know this because when I was in military school, I kind of experienced a little bit of this. You know, if you got caught doing something, the higher-ups would raise all kinds of, oh, man, how could you have done such a thing? When I was in military school, they threw a guy out a window, a fifth-floor window, with a sheet for a parachute, broke his arm and broke his leg.
And this is how they treat people that are not
different terrorists.
Different.
Yeah.
Different. Yeah, but this is what you're saying, though, is within the school, within the, you know. Whatever.
Exactly. And when it happens, everybody throws up their hands and says, oh, what an awful thing. But they knew that the culture, all of these people knew that the culture would allow for something like this to take place. And this is what we're seeing overseas. This is what we're seeing in places like Afghanistan, places like Abu Ghraib, where... Yeah, that you have sergeants and the rest of these people that do it. Everybody else further up the food chain throws their hands up in the air when it gets exposed. But as long as it's not, it's like somebody who says, well, you know, you can cheat on me, just don't bring the woman home.
They throw their hands up in the air and say it was them.
Them, yeah.
Yeah. And also an international committee of the Red Cross said yesterday that this is a committee that monitored the treatment of prisoners of war and works in tandem with the military to ensure that the Geneva Conventions are followed. At Guantanamo Bay, they said that there were reports of Quran abuses, of mistreatment of the Quran, going back as far as 2002. And, of course, the response of the Pentagon was like, yeah, but there's only a couple. There was only a couple. But the thing is that it happened, it was true, and, you know, this Newsweek BS is what it is. They retracted the story. They did not retract the facts. And in a related story, a Muslim woman who said she ordered a Quran through Amazon.com received her Quran, and it had death to all Muslims written in thick black marker on the first blank page of the Quran. A spokesman for Amazon, of course, blamed Newsweek.
How did she get that? What was that, UPS, FedEx? Who,
well, I guess what actually did happen was that Amazon was subcontracting through a smaller company that dealt with cutout books, and they blamed this other company for the Quran. I've been criticized for talking about Amazon on the air because, you know, you got a habit of it. You get into a habit of it because Amazon was the first one. It was the first one that you could get books from. But it's one of those companies that donates too much money, if not all of it. I'm not sure exactly what the percentage of it, but I get emails. It's like, stop plugging Amazon. You know, plug Powell Books, plug Barnes & Nobles. There's plenty of other places that people can get books. Amazon's one of the bad guys.
Well, you know, ideologically, what do people think they accomplish by writing something like that on someone else's holy book? Christians and you know, Buddhists or whoever, would, you know, take umbrage at the notion of someone else desecrating what they consider to be a holy book or a book of scripture or whatever. And yet people, and it's not everybody in America, it's not all Americans. I'm an optimist. I tend to think most Americans are fair-minded human beings. But there are always some people, you know, just like we were talking about yesterday with the IT guys who'll mess stuff up because they're mad that, you know, they didn't get a promotion or
whatever. I think that's what it is. I think it's a couple guys in a warehouse going, dude, come here, hear the Koran.
Korans, man.
Yeah, let's, like, you know, let's write some stuff in there. Yeah, I think that is true. But nonetheless, it's hateful, and it comes from a place. It's not just a disgruntled employee who's upset about his condition in life. This is racist.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hateful, and it's not, you know, it's not, it's wherever it comes from, it's unacceptable, and obviously it's they're going to be made to pay for that somehow, maybe.
Maybe, but it speaks to something that Americans have deep in our collective psyche and that we refuse to deal with, and that is the notion that in some parts of the Christian religion, they promote the notion, even if they don't say it, that our religion is better than your religion. Whatever else, you know, Baptists are better than Episcopalians, or Christians are better than Muslims, or better than Buddhists, or better than Zoroastrians, or whatever other religions that people practice. You know, and remember that for years, Mark, for years, generations, people talked about, quote, primitive religions. They didn't say different religions. They said primitive religions. And implicit in that is the notion that Christianity is the height of civility, civilization, and that these, quote, primitive religions are something less.
Yeah.
And that's where all of that comes from, man. It's from an ugly place, believe me.
I saw Kingdom of Heaven, man. It's been going on forever.
Yeah.
And now it's, I guess, is there a religious battle in the new Star Wars movie?
Yeah, there is, actually.
Really?
The Jedi versus the Senate, I guess.
Wow. So it never ends, even in scientific, in the science fiction world, all these things. It's a fundamental, it's what human beings fight about. I don't engage in it. I don't fight about it. You know, I call myself a Jew, but I don't think about it. And sometimes Jews get mad at me for the way I say Jew.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? Hey, Kayla, you got any?
Freedom?
But,
okay, Kalo. It's time to retaliate, man. What? Come on. You know you want to. Don't hold back,
what?
Man.
What?
Don't hold back.
Oh, I'm above that, my friend.
No, no. You got the thing right over here, man. Come on.
Oh, no, honestly, I don't have the machine hooked up.
So what about, what do you think about?
I used to love the fat guys.
Yeah. How about a little?
Freedom?
What's the matter? Well, you feel
he's going to get even. You know, we still have a little bit of show to do left up in here.
You're right, and we're gonna talk about how terrorism is funded and whether or not you know what you're eating at the movie theater might be might be causing this to happen.
Free gum.
Free gum.
15 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Join the morning tradition. Right now, call 866-303-2270.
What?
That's 866-303-2270.
You don't know until you've tried this.
Morning tradition on Air America Radio.
Damn good.
So call us right now. 800-430-9571. 800-430-9571.
Coming soon from the people who brought you the shadow government, Detective Mark Maron faces his greatest challenge yet, the religious right. Solving an ancient mystery, following a cold trail, and trying to interrogate televangelists who will only answer in tongues.
Better tell me who's behind this, Tilton, or it'll go rough for you.
It was Ayatollah Khamenei, Malakai, come on!
How do I know you're not lying?
Starting May 26th, Morning Sedition presents Mark Maron and the Temple of Doom.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yes, Mark, you certainly will.
Tune in May 26th or go to hell.
Back. Here we go. Nice. 20 past the hour. How do you like that? Friday. Sorry. I spaced out. I ran to the bathroom. I only have a few seconds. Isn't that exciting information?
Uh-oh.
It's Morning Sedition. It's Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. Relieved, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Not yet relieved.
I feel much better. That is weird, man. That's never happened in the history of our radio show where I'm like sitting there like going, huh? Oh, hey, what's going on? So I went to therapy yesterday, and it was good.
It was good?
Yeah, I didn't end up doing a political talk show for my therapist. But so I'm fresh out of dreams, and this is the one from last night. I'm on a huge line for Star Wars with my dead cat, Butch. I say, Butch, I didn't think you liked Star Wars. Butch lit a cigarette and said, I love Star Wars, Mark, and everything it stands for, Mark Maron. It is a mass corporate hypnosis for subhuman drones. George Lucas has squeezed from his loins a generation of imbeciles. When I see him, I will pop his fat head like a peak and then make him sit through a screenwriting course. I say, Butch, we're last in line, and you hate all this? Well, let's just leave. When you say things like that, Mark Maron, I am reminded of why I keep you out of this loop. We are at last in line for a reason. As we get inside the door, as we get inside, the doors close right behind us. I hear a chain rattle and then a lock click and purring, always a bad sign. We go inside the theater, which is filled with kids and IT guys dressed as stormtroopers and Yodas and Wookiees. The lights go down, and the opening fanfare starts playing, and everyone applauds, and just as the word Star Wars appear on the screen, everything goes dark. Everybody says, oh! Butch runs to the front of the theater and pushes a siren on her bullhorn. Attention, shut-in virgins! There will be no Star Wars today! You will, however, have a thrilling adventure, but this time, the Force will be between your legs. Unleash it, comrades! Less R2-D2, more BDSM! Less Wookiee, more Nookie! I encourage you to use the light side and the dark side! One 15-year-old kid wearing Yoda ears says to Butch, are you an Ewok? Butch says, come here, Yoda boy, and you too, Princess Leia. Let me open up a new world to you. Boy meet girl, touch her, love her, and if you don't know what that means, watch this. The projector whirred into life again, but this time the movie is Caligula, the orgy scene. Butch lights a cigarette and says, the doors are locked. You might as well get started. And ladies, if you don't have a partner, go ahead and use a droid. Ooh. I woke up and my bed was filled with sand people. Oh, Riley!
Hey!
Riley,
Tell me, come
on, dude. Here we go. It's Friday, got a big weekend ahead. What are you going to do with it?
Get out of debt? I don't know. No, I'm going to try.
What do you got going, man?
This weekend, you know, I'm all involved in selling my house and trying to buy another house. So, you know, there's all that kind of stuff that's going on.
Speaking of debt, that's an interesting topic there because, look, all these kids, these new teenagers who are like now half my age, more than half my age.
Yeah.
When the hell did that happen?
Recently.
When did it happen? How come I don't see, like, I see college kids walking down the street. I don't feel like there's any distance between them and me. I don't feel old. I have to literally tell myself, Kalo. I have to say, dude, you're old. The reason that they're not looking at you like you're one of their buds or like you're like, hey, that guy's got cool shoes or something, because I'm 41.
Yeah, that kind of snuck up on you now, didn't it?
I don't know if it snuck up on me, but I have to remind myself I'm 41, and I continually look in the mirror, and, you know, I've heard my mother say this before. I don't see myself as any different. I know I'm getting older, you know, but mm-hmm. I think my hair looks pretty good today. You know what I mean? I think, you know what I mean? I know I'm getting older, but I don't see the difference that much in my face. I don't feel droopy and weird and old. So I just don't get it, but I notice some kids, they're not even going to respond anymore. Like I told you that one thing before, even when I see high school kids, like there's still part of me, if I see a high school kid wearing a letter jacket, there's still part of me that goes, oh, no, man, be cool. Like, you know what, they're going to, what are they going to do?
Call you sir?
No, exactly.
That's what they do. That's when you know you're done. Trust me, Maron, I've been through this already.
But apparently a lot of these kids today, they were polled, they believe that most of them, their biggest fear is not terrorism. Okay, only 13.4% said a terrorist attack frightens them more than anything. 32.4% answered going deeply into debt, and 31.2% said being unemployed. Which, you know, I guess that's all understandable, but it's interesting. It's interesting.
Well, see, with the gap between rich and poor continuing to widen in this country,
mm-hmm.
these folks just don't want to end up poor. They've been through college, many of these people. This was a survey that was done by the Partnership for Public Services, a bipartisan organization. And these kids that are coming out of college now have been profoundly impacted, A, by Columbine, because that happened when they were still in high school, and September 11th, of course, which happened just as they were going to college.
But the thing is they should be a little afraid. We're going to talk to a woman in a few minutes. We're going to talk to Loretta Napoleone, and she's going to talk to us about why, you know, where the money is going. How do terrorists get funded? And I got fascinated with this thing because there is an ingredient that is in almost every
everything that you eat that is made in a factory. It's the Gum Arabic Company of Sudan. Osama bin Laden owns 70 to 75% of this company.
Mm-hmm.
And in this company, believe me, I'm talking gum drops, cough drops, caramel toffees, marshmallows, icing, nuts, candy, corn, bun and donut glaze, low-fat cakes and muffin mixes, soft drinks, iced teas and fruit drinks, meal replacers, nutritional beverages, weight loss products, lotions, protective creams. This stuff is in everything.
Except for City Bakery.
Yeah, but no.
All natural, no gum Arabic use.
So when you're sitting there in the theater chewing on juju fruits, just think. This is a good movie. No, I mean, but obviously, I don't know what my point is, but I find it fascinating that a lot of companies, a lot of companies that use this product lobbied for them not to, when they were going after the funders of terrorism, you know, just on a business level, they were like, well, let's not shut that down.
That's bad for business.
So that's fascinating. And obviously, even when you fill your car up with gas on some level, there's terrorist funding going on. And, you know, how much of this comes from the United States? How does it organize worldwide? This woman knows what she's talking about, and we're going to be talking to her, you know, coming up next.
Yeah.
And we've got, later in the show, we've got comedian Will Durst is going to be on the phone with us. Yeah, he's a funny guy. I've known him a million years. And so is Mort Mortensen.
Mort Mortensen, he's coming up?
No, he's not.
Oh.
But we got the Cardinal coming up.
Oh, so, that's right, the Cardinal.
Yes. So we will talk about the funding of terrorism from this country coming up here on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
About Marilyn Monroe and her relationship with the Rat Pack. Tune in, baby. It's going to be a blast this Saturday night on Air America Radio.
Before past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sedition on Air America Radio. Hang on, folks. The Cardinals coming. Rapture Watch is going to be on. It's about the IVs on livestock today. This, you know, the Cardinals sees things, and we will have that up shortly. Right now, the U.S. Can I ask you a question? Is the U.S. doing enough to fight the war on terror where it hurts them the most, in their wallet? Our next guest doesn't think so. Economist and Fulbright scholar Loretta Napoleoni has been researching terror funding networks since way before 9/11 and is not so impressed by the efforts made by the United States. She joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm fascinated with this. There's one chunk of the book that I was looking at in terms of the U.S. What money is coming out of the U.S.? Where is it coming from and going into terror networks currently or within the last year or two?
Well, there is quite a lot of money going out of the U.S. because of the interdependencies between our economy, Western economy, and the terror criminal economy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we have done very, very little. So far, we have only frozen $75 million since 9/11.
That's it? Is that because of fear of on behalf of business interests that they will stop global business?
I think because there is no willingness to go after the money, because the money are important for our economy, and this is the problem.
Wow. Like what companies? Like what money? Where is it coming from?
Well, I tell you, for example, I calculated the total size of this economy, which is terror, illegal, and criminal economy, and it's $1.5 trillion. It's trillion, not billion.
Trillion with a T.
With a T. It's 5% of the world economy. And until September 11, 2001, the majority of this money were money laundered in the United States. The currency used by the criminal, the terrorists, was the U.S. dollar. And this was an injection of cash into the U.S. economy.
So on some level, some people could see that as good for the economy.
Yes. Actually, it was good for the economy. If you look at the statistic also, you see the U.S. economy was growing very strongly during the 1990s, also because of that injection of cash.
Wow.
Now, you mentioned that this predates September 11th. Mark, you said that in the introduction. Let's talk a little bit about the history. How did American money and the money of other Western nations become so commingled and interdependent with the money of the terror networks?
Well, it all started earlier than the World War II with the state sponsor of terrorism. You remember the Cold War. This is when the two superpowers were fighting war by proxy along the periphery of the sphere of influence using fully funded armed organizations. The Contras in Nicaragua, we all remember, created by the CIA, legally funded by the U.S. Congress, and illegally funded by the Reagan administration. And that's the model. You have a mix of legal and illegal activities. And then in the 70s, the armed organization privatized the business of terrorism. Basically, what they did, they set up their own system of self-funding, and they did not need any longer the sponsor. So we told them how to raise money.
And this is obviously still on the evil level, a big business, terrorism. It still goes on today. It's going on right now. There are several different terror networks. What are some of, because most of the people in America are just, you know, they're familiar with Al-Qaeda. They're familiar with Hamas. They're familiar with the names that they see in the news, probably not even enough. So what are some of the other ones that are operating today and still heavily funded?
Well, let me tell you that Al-Qaeda, as we thought it was before 9/11, does not exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it does not exist. Al-Qaeda today is more of an idea.
It's a franchise, right?
Yes, it's absolutely. That's perfect. It is a franchise. And that's the most dangerous evolution of the phenomenon. Because look at the Madrid bombing on the 11th of March of last year. It cost $10,000. It was done by a group who had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to emulate Al-Qaeda. He wanted to be part of this great idea. And this is a new pattern of development.
So is Al-Qaeda selling Al-Qaeda starting kits? Is it like a pyramid scheme where you can order the kit and, you know, get the T-shirts and get the bomb-making instructions?
Yeah, it's the best brand.
Unbelievable.
In town.
We hear from the White House periodically that interrupting these terror networks in terms of the funding is one of the big successes of the war on terror. I mean, he said, well, we've isolated this much. We've shut this kind of funding mechanism down. You know, people were giving fundraising parties in Texas, and we don't let them do that anymore. But you're saying that this really is not much, huh?
No, it's not. Well, $75 million out of an economy, there's just $1.5 trillion, is nothing. But let me tell you something more. The fundraising in Texas was not such a big deal. I mean, the real big deal is the interdependency. Now, think about oil prices. Gas prices at pump now have gone up about 70% since September 11.
Mm-hmm.
This is 70% increase in revenues in oil-producing countries. Some of these oil-producing countries are number one sponsor of Al-Qaeda and other jihadists.
Saudi Arabia,
Kuwait, all the Gulf states.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is evidence, and we know that, that there is a flow of cash going from these countries to Iraq at the moment to fund al-Zarqawi, but also other groups. And that cash comes from that increase of oil revenues because there is so much cash available.
Right, when you fill up your SUV...
Yes.
That's going directly, on some level, there's a percentage of that money going directly into al-Zarqawi's war chest. We're talking to Loretta Napoleoni. The book is Terror, Tracing the Dollars Behind the Terror Networks, Incorporated. It's called Terror Incorporated, Tracing the Dollars Behind the Terror Networks. Sorry, I just read right off the cover. See, it's very decorative. It's a nice layout.
The cover.
It's catchy. It's very catchy. But now, this is a profound thing to me. It's not. I knew about it, but you know, you don't realize that there are these networks, and they are, you know, functioning businesses within the United States and products that the United States uses. Like, I got really preoccupied with this gum Arabic story.
Oh yeah, that's an amazing story.
So now tell us a little bit about that. Osama bin Laden owns a company that makes this additive that's in everything.
Yeah. Well, when he moved to Sudan in the 1990s, he did lots of investments. And among these investments, he took control of this company. Now, gum Arabic is a product which is used in every soft drink solution.
Soft drink? It's used in gumdrops, cough drops, caramel toffee, marshmallows, icing nuts, candy corn,
cigarette papers.
Everything.
Newspapers, don't forget. It's used on the newspaper to fix the ink on the newspaper.
It's in everything. And apparently it's a gum that comes from...
From a tree.
From a tree. An acacia tree, is it called?
Acacia.
Yeah, acacia tree.
Yeah. And Sudan is number one producer, produce about 80% of world supply. And guess who is number one importer? The United States.
Of course.
So Osama bin Laden controls 70% of Gamma Arabic Ltd., which is the company that controls the total production of Gamma Arabic.
All of it
in Sudan, so it's 80% of world production.
Yeah.
But the story is even more interesting is because in 1998, you remember the Clinton administration decided to put sanctions on Sudan, and among the products there was Gamma Arabic.
To put sanctions on them specifically to fight terrorism.
Well, yes, because there had been the bombing of
the
U.S. embassies.
Right.
Yes, so, and Sudan was one of the governments that was sponsoring Al-Qaeda. So three lobbies in America convinced the Clinton administration to scrap Gamma Arabic from the list.
Who was that?
Bad for business, huh?
Well, there was the soft drink producer lobby, the newspaper printer lobby, and the non-prescription pills lobby, which is the one that produced all the sweets.
So all the candies?
All the candies, yes.
So they were like, we don't want our juju fruit stifled.
We have
to be able to eat our raisinets if we want to.
But the argument was very interesting because what they said, well, okay, you're going to put the sanction on this product, so we can't buy this product, but the Sudanese, i.e. bin Laden, is going to sell the product to number two importer, the French.
Okay.
And the French will sell it to us at the premium. So in the end, you're going to put the sanction on us.
$5 a goober, huh?
So that's interesting. There's absolutely no way on some level. There is no way unless you do a tremendous amount of research and get a lot of information to even create a boycott situation that would stop money from going to terrorist networks.
Well, I mean, the only way to go about this particular situation, for example, was to impose sanctions from everywhere. So that means every single country should not buy this product. And then what are we going to do? Because there is no alternative.
Mm-hmm. No alternative. And see, that's what's kind of creeping me out here. I'm starting to feel like there really is no solution to dealing with the problem that you document in this book.
No, there is a solution. I mean, there is a solution. But the solution is not on the financial side. The financial side can only decrease the flow of money. The solution has to come from the root causes. Why are these people doing this to us? Mm-hmm. That's the key question.
Right.
So we got to go to the root then.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is there anything being done in the current? Nothing is really. So Bush is really lying about how much is being done about stifling the funds for these organizations.
Yeah. Well, he's lying about many other things.
Right. He's also lying about. Well, as we know, though.
Weapons of mass destruction. Little things like that.
But we do know now that most of what's gone wrong is because of Newsweek, and thank God.
Oh, yes, of course. It's all Newsweek for
blame the liberal media.
That's right.
This book is an incredibly researched book. You deal with, like you said, it starts with terrorism during the Cold War years and comes all the way up through today. Meticulously researched, Terror Incorporated, tracing the dollars behind the Terror Networks. Thank you for talking to us, Loretta Napoleone. It was great meeting you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us.
And, of course, we'll have Rapture Watch next, 45 past the hour, Air America Radio.
MorningSedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your vlog. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
Free two-week supply of TheraBreath. Dial 1-800-590-9870. That's 1-800-590-9870.
Yes, 50 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
It's Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. Lawton Smalls, I hear, is going to call from Planet Push in a little while.
Oh.
Yeah, I heard that. We haven't talked to him all week. People start to itch. People love the Lawton.
Yes,
know what
they
I mean?
Do.
Hey, Chris, can I have some?
Free golf?
Anyway, I choose.
I knew I'd get him to.
Hold on a minute. I just want to know how you feel about men.
I used to love the fat guy.
Oh, yeah? That's interesting.
I just want to tell you that you're getting a little funnier.
Oh.
I will not fear my meat.
I will not fear my meat.
You must have quite a package.
I used to love the fat guy.
Doofy, doofy, doody.
Oh, that's a good one.
Frigum, frigum,
Jews, Jews.
All right, anyway.
I want my own instant replay.
Oh, man. The Bible's book of Revelations. How's that for a segue?
There you go.
Hold on, let me do it again.
Frigum.
The Bible's book of Revelations. Also, gum has gum Arabic in it. So when you have your...
Frigum.
You might be supporting Bin Laden.
That's right.
How do you feel about that, Chris?
I used to love the fat guys.
The Bible's book of Revelations portends... What was that one? Was that... Oh, there's just a snort from something? The Bible's book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with MILF Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Monrovia, California. Your Grace?
Heed my words, ye high-minded Baronians, brazen witches of Harlem, and editors of Newsweek. For in thy Luciferan darkness, your hearts have become cages for unclean bats. And you have befouled yourselves with the guano of anonymous sources, even though the story was true. The rapture is imminent, and soon ye great swelling masses of hedon shall rise unclothed within the steam salve of Christ's burning wrath. Just me, is it getting hot in here? Heyo! That God will smite the impenitent, it is evident in Deuteronomy 32:14, Exodus 34:7, and Galatians 5. Okay, Mark, which one isn't real?
I don't know, Exodus 34:7?
Got you, sucker, 0 for 1. And how appropriate, loser. For the end times are creeping up on you faster than a hamster in Richard Gere's rec room.
Oh, no.
For according to our president's favorite news source, the Internet's... The USDA, or United Satans for Demon Antichrist, wants to put IDs on every one of this nation's livestock, if only for the stupid reason that it could stop the spread of some horrible brain-exploding disease. That's it, people. The tribulation is here, for as St. Augustine himself found out, there's no fighting Satan's temptations once he gets his hands on your meat. Or it was prophesied in Revelation, quarter pounder with cheese. And I quote it, and the day will cometh when the beast carries the mark of the beast, and ye shall not tell the difference between beast and beast, nor beast and man. And this will be especially true of Neil Horsley. Oh, yeah. End quote it. By the power of Jehovah, the rapture is upon us. Now you'll excuse me if I flop around on the floor and babble like a monkey. It's all in the numbers, Marks 1 and 2. They want to ID this country's 96 million cattle, 60 million hogs, and 9 billion chickens by the year 2009. Now, just the very numerical content of that statement is mind-boggling. 96 million cattle. 9 is an upside-down 6. Then add the other 6. And add 60 million hogs. Another 6. That makes 666. Following me?
Wait, Cardinal, what about the number 9 and 9 billion chickens? And what about the numbers 2009 in the year 2009?
And what about you shutting up? Is there any parade you don't want to rain on today?
Wow.
Look, you can make a 6 out of the 9 by turning it upside down. Mm-hmm. And as for the 2009, just subtract 2 from 9 and you get a 6. Which everybody knows is so close to 6, it's not even funny.
7. It's a 7. You get a 7. Okay, 6.
Okay, smartass. Galatians 4:21. Paul 5:16. Quinn Martinek 5. Which one isn't real?
You know what? Actually, none of them are real, Cardinal.
Ooh, the power of Satan is strong within you today. Here, let me lay my hands upon you to drive out the beast.
Oh, I don't think so, buddy. I don't think so.
Okay, But can I see you again?
What?
Just testing you, Mark. You performed well today, but not well enough to keep you from suffering an eternity of exquisite and horrible torment. Ooh, is it getting hot in here again? Anyway, until that day, fornicators, hide your meat from Satan. And we'll keep the light on for you in hell.
I will not fear my meat.
Hey, what is that? Hey, thank you, Cardinal. It's a pleasure that you stopped by. And
you're welcome.
It's a little weird today, though. It's a little. You all right? The temperature okay for you?
I'm all right. The temperature's fine.
What do you make of this gum Arabic?
The gum Arabic. You know, I've come up with a list of other things that.
Can I refresh the memory of the people who just tuned in? Apparently, gum Arabic, the primary company in the Sudan, owned about 75% of that company, owned by Osama bin Laden. So anything that has gum Arabic in it, theoretically, on some level, is a little bit of Jack going the terrorist way. So now tell me your little thing.
Here are some other things I have learned that bin Laden has complete production control over.
What?
Uh-oh. Riboflavin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Astroglide.
No!
Come on!
That's right. Pizza.
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 Retsin.
Right, Retsin.
And here's one. This is a real saliva.
Oh. How is there gum Arabic and saliva?
Stop
and all
that.
Saliva?
What am I, a scientist?
I don't know. What are you, Cardinal?
I'm a god.
What do you got going this weekend, Cardinal? Anything?
Well, you know, I got
to be honest.
Clean out the house. Yeah. Comb the cat.
Yeah. And how about you can do the dishes? You going to be doing any eating, anything exciting, going out to a dinner perhaps?
Perhaps I will eat the words of God.
Yeah.
Eat the words of what?
Shut up, Riley.
Yeah. Listen. A minute. By the way, Cardinal, what's going on with some of your homies here? There's a pregnant girl who was banned from graduation at a Catholic high school in Alabama?
Look, I don't even know the girl.
Nothing to do with it.
You sure?
Wow.
I'm sure. Because she said you dated her.
Wow, these improvisational adventures into the mind of the Cardinal are
look,
really... What?
I have been Durst.
Yeah. He will be here. Durst is going to be here, you know. The inimitable Will Durst is going to be on the show.
Yep.
What is that?
I didn't say that.
I think you did say it.
This is turning into the morning zoo.
I get it.
Oh,
what
no.
It's turning into. We will be talking to Will Durst coming up next. And he's a funny guy. He's going to be up at
Jimmy
Kimmel's Off-Broadway Theater in Somerville if you live up in the Boston area.
Absolutely. And we've got some conspiracies coming up.
The hour. It's morning tradition on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. Wake up, sheeple.
Yeah.
It's Friday. I don't want to say thank God, but you feel like saying thank God, don't you?
Yeah,
you
do.
It's so hacky. Thank God it's Friday. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
How about this? I'm so psyched it's Friday. Thank.
How about Eureka?
I'm thrilled. I'm not going to do any comedy this weekend. I'm just going to hang out with my wife. I'm going to go out to dinner. I'm going to go to the movies. I'm going to take a nap.
In other words, you're going to act normal.
I'm going to stop eating.
Why?
Because I've been eating. Well, you know what? Oh, there was a conversation about meat.
Oh.
I'm thinking about eating the meat again.
Really?
I'm thinking about going out and getting a big old steak. My wife wants it. My wife is so bad. She's not supporting me at all in my vegetarian agenda. She's like, how about once? You should be able to eat meat once a month, she says. And that should be Friday. All right, let's get into this. Since our president is openly operating, did I mention we're going to have people that are going to unfold the Jewish conspiracy for us later this
Is that the Jewish conspiracy?
Isn't it all right?
Yeah.
Anyway, since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that Americans know what's happening in his alternate universe. Luckily, we have a staffer that lives in that world. So now on the phone once again, and we haven't talked to him in a while, Planet Push correspondent Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Lawton.
Hey, good morning, Mark. There is a Jewish conspiracy. You're right about that, fella. That's for a different time, but we'll get into that some other time.
Right. So, Lawton, look, I see for the first time in office that your boy W is threatening to veto a bill, and it's the highway bill, my friend. Why would he do something like that?
Priorities, Mark. You know, perhaps the largest missile in the vast arsenal of personal skills of President George W. two-terms mandate Bush is his ability to prioritize.
Uh-huh,
he can
yeah.
see the big picture, you know,
uh-huh.
and say, over here, stack of red marbles.
Uh-huh.
Those are important.
Uh-huh.
Over there, blue marbles, not important.
Oh, darn.
The man, he's got a beautiful mind.
Well, okay, wait.
The whole equation.
Let me understand this. So fixing highways aren't a priority?
That's a blue marble, Mark. Not important. Wait. N-I, known importance.
Wait, well, what about the collapse of the Henry Hudson Parkway right here in New York City? Are you telling me that's not important?
That was in New York, Mark, not in America. I'll loan you a map, okay? And besides, highways are a privilege, not a right.
Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Privilege.
Privilege, huh? So if a bridge,
yes.
If a bridge collapses or the pavement buckles and I get killed, it's my fault somehow?
You know, you Democrats always have your little hands out. I want. Fix my highways. Fix my bridges. Well, let me ask you this, buddy. What do we get?
What are you talking about?
What do we get?
You already get our taxes.
I'm not talking about money, Mark. I'm talking about loyalty. You know, if you'd all just turn your backs on your cowardly, gay, godless, abortion-loving, socialist, gun-eating elitist agenda and see the light, then maybe we'll fix your precious highways for you.
Uh-huh.
And again, maybe we won't. Give and take, Mark. Taekwondo.
Taekwondo. That's quid pro quo. All right, so what are we supposed to do until the highways get fixed?
Well, duh, get an SUV, son. That's what they're for. Off-road. Off-road. Go where you please. You can go right through Yellowstone Park if you want to. You just chase the bears around.
Come on.
Hey, Smokey.
Come on.
Get out of my way.
Bush gives a rock a blank check, all right? And then we don't spend a little more to fix the roads here at home for his own people? Well, what is that about?
It's because he loves freedom.
Oh, you're crazy.
We're rebuilding highways in Iraq first so people can get to and from the new Iraqi Disneyland, Iraq McDonald's.
Oh, no.
It's going to be a proud day when the whole family can pile into the SUV and drive over to the IHOP for some silver dollar pancakes. After services, Baptist Church.
Okay.
That's a good day.
You know what I think, man?
Good day.
You know what I think? Bush doesn't want to do anything for anyone.
Silver dollar pancakes.
He doesn't want to do anything for anyone who doesn't agree to put him, to put money in his pocket. He's just going to let the infrastructure crumble so that people will be grateful for any crumbs he decides to throw him. He'll just let the next president clean up his mess, Lawton, which is the way that guy has operated his entire life. Someone's going to die because of this, and it's going to be his fault, Lawton. That's right. Cry. Cry. Go ahead. Cry, little baby.
When I was a kid, I used to go out on the road with my daddy.
Yeah.
Stand up on the back seat of his convertible with my arms out, and I pretend like I was flying.
Oh, God.
I'm flying.
This is pathetic. No, I'm not following this.
I was usually nude. Broad panties.
Broad panties?
Daddy's so lingerie door to door, lonely housewife.
Oh, no.
When he was busy with the customers, I'd wait out in the parlor. Touch the silk.
Oh, this is getting too weird, man. It's too weird. Take it easy, will you? You're freaking me out. Let's just take it easy. All right, just pull it together.
I'm sorry, Mark.
Yeah.
Priorities, Mark. Red marbles are good. Blue ones are bad.
Right.
Get an SUV, buddy.
Right, buddy.
Get one this weekend, all right? That's what you can do this weekend.
Goodbye, Lawton.
Give up on that Jewish conspiracy, friend.
Goodbye, Lawton.
God loves you. Deal with it.
You know,
Lord have his mercy.
I got to be honest with you. That was the creepiest I've ever heard, Lawton. I mean, you know, it got a little weird there at the end. Am I wrong? Did it get weird? Am I wrong, Riley? No, you were not wrong. All right, so just remember, gumdrops, my friends. Gumdrops. Hey, can I have a juju fruit? Hey, how you? I love marshmallows.
And for those of you getting ready to roll up some hydro.
Donuts. Right. Oh, that would be different. I think, did they actually do that? Didn't the Beastie Boys actually go?
Yeah.
What we're talking about is the Gum Arabic factory that is owned 75% by Osama bin Laden, and that the scaring truth of the matter is that very little has been done to stifle terrorist money going into the from this country into the pockets of terrorists because it's big business.
It's big business.
Trillions of dollars.
And people who you wouldn't think would be lobbying against this sort of thing are lobbying against trying to stop and interrupt these terror funding networks.
What's some other big news? Oh, we're getting closer to cloning, my friends. It's happening in South Korea. South Korea, because science has to be outsourced out of this country because religious fanatics want to retard us. They want to retard us. They want to deny children a fact-based education, possibly make the roads dirt again, and put us all in camps, Riley.
Hey, man, this whole cloning, not cloning, the stem cell debate itself is one that is, in my judgment, it's just gone too far. You've got, the religious people and the political people who have united
to try and stifle something that could have the effect long-term of prolonging human life.
See, this is what I want. I'm hoping for the day where I can walk into Whole Foods, maybe not Whole Foods, maybe a small independent health food chain of some kind, because I know people will always find problems with big businesses. Maybe Joe's Healthy Market. I walk in, and I go, yeah, hi, could I have a stem cell smoothie, please, that doesn't have gum arabic in it? Because my kidneys are about to give out, and I just want to regrow them. That's what I believe. There will be yummy drinks in the future where, let's say your heart's failing. You're like, that's okay. Let me just have a special heart smoothie. Little stem cells, and you just see, I believe stem cells are just little wads of cells. They don't have souls. They just have the hope of other people being healthy because of their use properly. I just don't understand where is that predestination idea there. Maybe it's not supposed to be a person. Maybe it's supposed to help many people with its joy and possibilities. Why am I talking like this?
Well, no, you know what? The South Koreans apparently believe that. They don't have this kind of religious stricture, at least not in terms of their government policy.
You mean the Inquisition is over? You
the
mean
Inquisition in Seoul is done.
They're not moving back to the Middle Ages?
No. Uh-uh.
Well, how do you like that? So I'm telling you, if you're going to keep complaining in this country that we're being beaten by other people in the world, maybe we should re-sophisticate ourselves, make the separation between not only church and state, but how about science and church? How would that be?
That would be
lovely.
Does that
make sense? Does it make sense, P.W. McDonald? Am I making sense here? Can you hear me? Okay, good. Thank you.
A delayed, sure. Free golf?
We're going to be back with
Jews.
Yeah, with some of that. We're going
to
be back
with you. Go on.
Oh. We're going to be back with the Jewish conspiracy, and Uncle Will Durst, who's up in Boston, is going to dish out a little funny on the phone for us. It's 15 past the hour. Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition, delivering you from evil in 3 hours or less. Air America Radio.
That's cabinet refacing from Sears Home Services. 1-800-828-1200. That's 1-800-828-1200.
1200. 19 past the hour, Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. I am Mark Maron. That is Mark Riley.
Yeah.
We are here in New York City. And on the phone in Boston, Massachusetts, Somerville, Massachusetts, to be exact. He's going to be at Jimmy Tingle's Broadway, Off-Broadway Theater tonight there in Somerville, is my old buddy, fellow stand-up comic, Uncle Will Durst.
Hey, buddy.
I don't mean to call you Uncle Will. I'm sorry. Will Durst. How's that? I just want to be respectful. How
Uncle
you doing?
Uncle Will
man?
Is fine. How you doing, Mark?
All right. How you doing, Will?
I'm beat.
Are you? Did you fly in from San Francisco?
Yeah, flew in from Frisco and coming to New York on Sunday. I'm going to be at the Rocky Sullivan thing on Tuesday night.
Oh, with the Crimmins crew, with Credico and Crimmins and whatever few remaining political comics there are in the world.
Yeah, the seven of us. We've still not figured out that it's not the greased chute to the big time.
Man, but did you, so you're doing two shows, four shows or two shows?
No, just I'm doing a show tonight at 7:30, tomorrow 7:30, and doing a matinee on Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Oh, for the kids.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's the Uncle Will show.
For the kids.
So did you, we've been talking a lot this morning about the religious fanatics repressing our ability to move science forward with the stem cell research, man. And now they got a new pope as well.
Well, you know what I love is these guys trying to insert intelligent design into our schools. I mean, the Kansas Board of Education, oh, we're not trying to supplant science. We're trying to support it. And anybody who doesn't agree with us will be tried as a witch.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I don't understand the whole intelligent design thing. I mean, you listen to them. Well, it's not a religious thing. Well, then, okay, who's the intelligent designer? I don't know. Who do you think it is?
Well, basically what they're saying is, like, it's all so complicated, it must be magic. That's basically what
these are all based on traditions like 4,000 years ago. I mean, you think of it, 4,000 years ago, for crumb's sake. I mean, anybody with more than three teeth was burned. That was 3,200 years before the invention of the fork.
Whoa.
For crumb's sake, you got a GPS positioning satellite
yes.
system in your car, eat an oyster.
Uh-huh.
Not allowed to issue a fatwa using a cell phone. That's like the new rule.
Well, I've always been under the belief that true Republicans believe in evolution. They're pretty sure that the poor will adapt to whatever they put them through. So
it's the frog soup theory.
What does that mean?
The frog soup theory, I mean, you put a frog in tepid water, put him on the burner, turn the heat slowly up, and the frog constantly acclimates himself to the higher temperature until he's frog soup. And that's what's happening to us. I mean, we're getting, they're stripping us down. I can't even take a lighter on board now when I'm flying. I can't take flame. I can't take fire with me because, if the shoe bomber had had a lighter, well, that's why I'm taking off my damn shoes. Now I gotta say, pretty soon they're going to want our thumbs. Only the guilty need thumbs.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's actually coming down to sort of like, you're a child and we don't want you to hurt yourself or anybody else.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so for the kids.
Well, now, what
are your kids now?
Have you been paying attention to this whole blame Newsweek for everything? Blame Newsweek for World War II, for Vietnam, for the Korean War, for the crucifixion of Jesus. I mean, everything indicates that the Korans were being abused.
Well, also, this report has been out for what? A couple of years.
Exactly.
And now suddenly it's Newsweek's fault. I mean, didn't the government? And also, you got the White House accusing Newsweek of causing deaths because of getting information wrong. Hello? Is this an irony-free zone suddenly?
Exactly. And now they're thinking you're getting overwrought. Y'all worked up well. Well, I bet you the whole Bolton nomination must have pissed you off because that's not going to make anything any better.
Well, where does it say that you get a guy who doesn't believe? He actually said he doesn't believe in the UN.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that's a philosophical thing or if it's actually a physical thing, and he can't find the building on the east side.
Yeah,
I don't think it's good to have an undiplomatic guy being in charge of the diplomacy corps.
Uh-huh.
This is what I'm talking about. Frogs who we're just getting used to. Oh, that's Bush again.
Now, have you? Apparently, Barbara Bush said today that someone actually should have told him to stop riding his bike when there might have been an attack on the White House.
Well, I think they waited until he was safe in his sandbox before they told him.
Yeah. So now tell me, tonight, are you doing a one-person show or are you just doing straight stand-up? You got an angle outside of just the standard Durst performance?
It's kind of a little bit of both.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a one-man show in that, I talk about all the stuff that a one-man show should, but it's what it is. It's my stand-up, only it's 40% longer, only 80% is funny.
Yeah. All right, well, at least you're not setting too high a goal for yourself. Yeah. God forbid you say it's great. Come on down.
It's all right. It's an okay show. And I'm not just a commie pinko yellow rat bastard. I mean, I take out the left too. I mean, PETA drives me nuts. Sorry.
Oh yeah.
They just did you see the new thing is don't eat fish because fish have feelings too. I mean,
yes.
Come on.
Yeah,
you got whipsawed by that one, Mary.
No, I've been through this with these fish people.
I mean, what are we supposed to eat? We can't eat fish now? What's left? Fruit? Vegetables? Are you kidding?
Yeah, God forbid we eat fruit and vegetables. You're right.
But then as soon as we start eating fruit and vegetables, don't eat the little Brussels heads.
I know.
There's self-esteem,
Can't you hear the broccoli screaming? Give me one. You've been great. I've been Durst.
You guys have been great. I've been Durst.
All right,
don't forget the phone number, 617-591-1616 or jimmytingle.com.
All right, Jimmy Tingle, Off-Broadway Theater. Thank you, Will. Take it easy. Have a good show.
All right, Will.
Thanks, both of you.
All right, man. See you later. That was Will Durst. Riley.
Yo.
So we're going to get to the bottom of the Jewish conspiracy, finally.
Listen, man. I don't want to get into all of this because, it's just something I'm not comfortable with.
Well, David Deutsch and Josh Newman, who have been investigating it, they're actually from Heed Magazine.
They're not anti-Semitic, are they?
Well, you know, they're probably as anti-Semitic as most Jews are.
Okay.
So,
I just want to make sure of that, for the record.
For most of us, it's limited to self-hatred. But, you know, on some level, that is Jew-hating. Am I wrong? I'm going to get emails about that. You can't, you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
All right, so we'll be back with David Deutsch, who are Jews. Josh Newman, The Jewish Conspiracy.
The ammunition dumps, it just goes on and on.
Jerry Springer on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here, Mark Riley.
Yo!
Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. So here's some questions. Were the Jews involved in 9/11? Depends on who you ask, but yes, there are those who seriously would believe that that is true. Do the Jews run Hollywood? Absolutely. Did they cause World War One? Sure. Is there a trend in psychoanalysis, simply a way to hypnotize wealthy Gentiles? Yeah, why not? So joining us in the studio to give merit to these pronouncements are a couple of Jews, actually. David,
that's about all our credentials.
Yeah. David Deutsch and Josh Newman, the editors of Heave Magazine. I first want to say thank you for giving me, I'm in the Hot Heave 100 or whatever it is.
And coincidentally, we were on your show. How did that happen?
Funny how that works.
And I'm holding the book, the big book of Jewish conspiracies. But aren't all books on conspiracies about the big Jewish conspiracy, fellas?
I guess you could say that. The premise of the book is that we can, in fact, tell the story of the unfolding of Western civilization simply by chronicling, or in our case, satirizing, the unfolding of Jewish conspiracy theories throughout the ages.
And please bear in mind, he did say satirizing.
Yes.
For those who are
oh, wait, so it's not true?
We didn't say that either.
Well, thanks for coming in, fellas.
Well, we have the American market, and we also have our friends in the Arab world, so we want to make sure that we're not offending anybody.
Yes.
So you're just saying it's like you decide. Is that what you're saying?
Something like that. You know, we Father's Day is coming up, so we're actually recommending this book for if your father is a smart, educated, cosmopolitan Jew or a Muslim fundamentalist intent upon destroying the West, then this would be a great
book for you.
Yeah, early on, I went to JewWatch.com, which I don't even know if it exists anymore, because I was there was a list.
Oh, yeah.
There was a list of like hundreds and hundreds of Jewish entertainers. I mean, and they had people as esoteric as like Mark Bolan from T-Rex. Hundreds. Yeah. My name not on it. So I called the guy who ran JewWatch just to primarily say, why can't I get on the list? And then I tried to convince him that if he just tweaked the site a little bit, it would be a very pro-Jew site.
It is basically, there is a site, Jewhu, which does the same thing, just from a different perspective.
So what's the big conspiracy? What are some of the threads you follow here?
Well, basically, we're covering the greatest hits, if you will, of Jew hatred throughout the ages. We start with ancient times and go all the way through Christ killing and blood libel.
But we did do it. We had something to do with it, didn't we? The Christ killing?
Well,
read the book.
I don't think we did. I don't know what part of. But I think we might have something to do with that. Not my family, obviously. But you know, anyways, go ahead.
Right. Well, poisoning, which actually is an effort to bring about the a couple of Jews bringing about the beginning of the bottled water industry. We go through communism and capitalism and Hollywood.
All right, let's start with that one. But tell me about the bottled
water. Yeah, I'm interested about this.
Yeah, well, basically it's the Black Death, and people are blaming the Jews for causing the Black Death, and a couple of Jewish entrepreneurs decide that they may not be able to stop the killing, but at least they can get paid. And so they start the rumor that the Jews are poisoning the wells, thereby getting the non-Jews to buy bottled water instead, not realizing that the Jews themselves had bought up all the bottled water companies. And
this is complex.
Evian is Jewish?
No, this is... They eventually sold it and then poisoned the...
Oh, okay. All right. I'm glad you cleared that up.
What year are we talking about here?
1700? The 13th century. The Black Death was about 1349.
So you're telling me that a couple of Jews spread the rumor that Jews were actually polluting the wells with the Black Death because they wanted to sell bottled water?
Look, we're not hoping that we're not assuming that anyone's going to believe these things. The point here is not to make fun of or exploit Jewish conspiracies. It's a very serious subject. However, what we're doing is trying to make light of the logic of the Jewish conspiracy theorists. So we're taking these historical pronouncements and satirizing them, sending them up.
I mean, basically the idea that, after 9/11, you have these people killing thousands of people.
Yeah.
And the immediate response isn't to say, oh, my God, wasn't that terrible? Oh, my God, these people are monsters. Mm-hmm. What about the victims? It's to say, oh, the Jews did it. Right.
Some people said that.
Well, I'm saying every single human being.
Our esteemed Saudi allies and our poet laureate of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And despite a fairly significant body of evidence suggesting that Osama bin Laden was in some way involved, people are still saying, no, it's the Jews. It's the Jews. 4,000 Jews didn't show up to the World Trade Center that day.
Where did that start? Where did that nonsense start?
Well, not a clue, but that's the whole point. Basically, the real conspiracy theories are no more or less absurd than the ones we came up with. And so your first response is like, this is absurd. And then you think this is disgusting. And then you think, no, you know what? It's really just absurd. And
look,
absurd.
I've always said that conspiracies feel like thinking to stupid people. And they also let people off the hook who are marginally smart people but don't want to do their homework. Because in retrospect, it's very easy to connect the dots of everything. It creates myths of hatred.
I would, however, like to just... Ease off on the marginally smart people who don't do their homework, please.
Yeah. So tell me about what are some of your favorite points? When you were researching this book, what made you go, no way, dude?
Well, it's interesting. This is probably, and I don't know if I speak for David, this is probably the smartest, silly book ever written. We go to great efforts, even though the scenarios and the characters who perpetrate these conspiracies are absolutely the most unlikely of perpetrators, nebbishy characters right out of a Woody Allen film.
Good Woody Allen film.
Right. The early ones. Yeah. Love and Death, stuff like that.
Yeah.
The worlds we embed them are incredibly historically grounded.
What do you mean?
For instance.
Yeah, I mean, again, both of us are for lack of a better term, failed academics. We did PhD work. I did mine in Jewish and American history. He did his in
philosophy. I was at the Harvard.
Yeah. So, basically the idea was...
Word up to all my peeps in Cambridge.
It was basically sort of like creating conspiracy Mad Libs,
mm-hmm.
where we come up with a thing that happened, figure out what a Jew would have to gain from it, make up a name for the Jew, make up a conspirator. But from that point on, it was a matter of, okay, if it's the Renaissance, who would they meet?
Right.
What was happening at the time? What events would take place?
The Renaissance is not a classic example of a Jewish conspiracy theory. We came across certain historical epochs where, for some strange reason, no one had blamed on the Jews. So in those cases, we had to take certain poetic
liberties. That's what we're saying, Paul. The Jews are going to be... held responsible for all the bad things that happened in history. I figured we could toss in a couple of good things.
No one would mind.
Well, how about this? Hold on. Let's take a call. Karen in Boston. What do you have to say, Karen?
Hey, Karen.
Hi. Since you guys are experts, I was wondering if you could answer this question that has always puzzled me about these people who think the Jews own everything. Why would we have Bush as president since, of course, he wants to stamp out everything except evangelicals? And why is Israel in still so much trouble?
We
own everything.
Well, thank you very much, Karen. I mean, I can sort of address that. Can you?
don't blame Bush on us, of all the things.
Well, there are some people believe that Wolfowitz, Pearl, and some of the other neocons,
Abrams,
running this whole thing. There are evangelicals, Karen, that are funneling money into Israel because they believe that the only way Jesus can come back is if the temple is rebuilt on the Temple Mount, which is one of the great Jewish conspiracies.
I mean, it was the same thing during early Soviet times with these prominent Jews in positions of power in the Communist Party. There's always this grain of truth, this, for lack of a better word, homage of truth in the conspiracy. It wouldn't resonate in people's minds if there wasn't some connection with reality.
If it doesn't validate either some point of view they have or some hatred.
Conspiracies are fun because of the craziness of it, but conspiracy theories are compelling because of the logic to it, right?
Right.
It's not that this guy really did do this. It's that, he was in the right place. He could have shot Kennedy instead of Lee Harvey Oswald. So it's possible that it could happen.
Well,
so.
The George Bush, the first George H.W. Bush, was actually on the grassy knoll. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, but I've done my research.
He had moved to Texas by then?
Well, oh, sure.
Hold
yeah.
on. I will say that that's not what happened. But
it doesn't matter. Facts don't matter, Riley. This is conspiracy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, for
if you read our chapter on the Big Book of Jewish Conspiracies on JFK, you will find that he did play a part.
Okay. I got a question, because,
JFK,
you know, when
Jews
we look
behind
at,
it.
Yeah. They were?
Jews.
Yes. Who?
Well, the hat makers.
The hat makers.
Yeah.
Did he wear one?
Kennedy was the first president to not wear a hat. It was killing the hat industry, and a prominent Dallas hat maker said this has got to stop.
But now, see, now, I know a lot of what you deal with here is in the States, but I got to figure that a lot of these conspiracies, a lot of this nonsense goes on outside of America.
Sure.
What goes on in France? What goes on in some of the European countries?
We've got chapters on the Chinese Revolution, the French Revolution, actually a Jewish conspiracy.
The French Revolution?
A lot of poverty in Africa, a Jewish conspiracy. All of these.
The Jews are everywhere you want to be.
This is a Bible of Jewish conspiracy.
Wait a minute, they never heard about the Ethiopian airlift and all of that stuff that went on? And what the Israelis did?
It's in there as well.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, stem cell research. You were talking about stem cell research.
Another
this
one?
Morning. Stem cell research, actually a Jewish conspiracy.
All right,
the goal is to create a...
To help people.
To create a new race of
Jewish
masters.
Who can
all like Sandy Koufax.
The nation of Sandy Koufax.
Of Uber Jews.
Hey,
the
man.
Big Book of Jewish Conspiracies, David Deutsch and Joshua Newman, the editors of Heat Magazine. Thanks for being here. You can go to www.jewishconspiracy.biz. Right?
Yeah. We looked into .com, but there was a problem.
It's funny. We went to the
Jewish Conspiracy.
We said we're doing a site. Well, we said we're doing a site on Jewish conspiracies. They offered us jewishconspiracy.com. When they realized we're actually Jews, they said, maybe .biz is a little more...
Come on. I want to talk to Pashman about that. He went to see Bruce Springsteen last night. Maybe next up we'll see what's going on with that and talk a little bit more to Kalo about the latest Star Wars movies. But you guys, thanks a lot for coming by. It's nice talking to you.
Appreciate it.
It's Air America Radio, 45 past the hour.
Hi, this is Mark Maron's mom, and you're listening to my son and his friend, Mark Riley. They're very good boys. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. After exposing the shadow government, Mark Maron, private investigator, returns next week to investigate and expose the most dangerous, dark, and powerful organization in American history. Its tentacles reach everywhere. Its evil message infects everyone, even reaching the highest seats of government. Can one slightly used private eye be a match for the religious right?
Mark? Kneel with us now and pray. I said kneel and pray. Now!
No! No! No!
Who is the real power behind the evil? That is the religious right.
My brothers and sisters, follow me. Follow him. Follow us. For you are the sheep he has chosen. You are his army of sheep.
You. How? It can't be. How? No!
He has the mark of the beast!
I think that's just a mole.
Destroy him!
On May 26th, Mark Maron starts a case that will take him to hell and back again.
I'll see you in hell. Hold on a minute, that didn't come out right. I'll see you in heaven? Nah, that doesn't really work.
Don't miss an episode of Mark Maron and the Temple of Doom.
51 past the hour. I am Mark Maron. We are going to go get to the bottom of that. The Morning Sedition Radio Theater is back. You looking forward to that, Riley?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my God. It's Friday. We're almost done. How do you like that?
Let's
take a couple of calls. We have, who's that, Ted in Nebraska? Ted, how are you?
Hello, Mark and Mark. Again, the liberals are trying to kidnap the government for their own narrow-minded sort of ideology.
Oh, no, it's happening. Oh, no, I hate when... help me, Riley. Oh, my God. Oh, no, it's happening. My thoughts are starting to change. I'm becoming him. Oh, no.
Radio Halliburton, it's right and early. The conservatives' way to wake up with Mark the Shark Maron.
Good morning, neocons. It's 34 past the hour here on Radio Halliburton, where the truth hurts. So the Democrats, the Democrats say they're going to get tough on national security. Whoa, look at the big tough Democrats. Let's see what you got, tough guy. Well, you do have one weapon, the dirty bomb. Hey, liberals, what are you going to do to Osama? Filibuster?
Oh, I'm Harry Reid. Look how tough I am. All you terrorists better look out because I got some stern language for you. Oh, help me, Mommy, help me. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. The bad people are after us. Oh, my penis fell off.
You know what would happen if we let the Democrats protect us? Hey, Nancy Pelosi. Good, watch this for, watch me for a second. Oh, whoopsie daisy.
No!
Take some advice, losers. Stick to killing what you know. Fetuses. Hey, it's 36 past the hour. Let's take a call. You're on the air, caller.
Limousine liberals, gun control, 300.
That's right. That's right. Good point, caller. The Koran shouldn't be flushed down the toilet. Muslims should be flushed down the toilet. Am I right? Am I right?
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Bye-bye, Muhammad. See you later, Haji. Sorry, Muslims. Shiite happens. You've been charged. Hey, it's 38 after the hour. Time for the neocon traffic report. Oh, looks like a major collision out there between Newsweek and the truth. Bring in the meat wagon. Stick around, neocons. We'll be back with Toby Keith.
Don't touch that dial, Patriot. We'll be back with Right and Early.
Oh, man, what happened? Why do I have coffee all over me?
I don't know, man.
Why is my city bakery donut on the floor? Did I do that thing? Did I pass out again?
Yeah, man, you got crumbs on your chest. What are you talking about?
What the hell's Tashman doing in here? how long was I out for? How long's the show been going on?
It was a while, man.
Long enough to get him in here.
Tashman, what the hell, man? So, yeah, Dan Tashman, son of Louis and Linda Tashman, those of you who don't know, of New Jersey. Horrendous. Not horrendous, but wrong word. Committed, dedicated, loyal fan.
No, you got it right the first time. Horrendous.
I don't know. The president of Air America was at the show last night, too. You're not going to call him horrendous, are you?
So you were sucking up?
Which president?
Yeah.
The president that got us the donuts? These aren't donuts. These are very high-end pastries from City Bakery. So how was Bruce Springsteen last night?
The concert was really great. I mean, it's a solo acoustic show, so it's drastically different from what you'd expect with a full band. Very stripped down. Bruce alone on the stage for 2.5 hours. He played piano, organ, banjo, electric, acoustic guitar, harmonica.
I sense a weird sort of rationalizing disappointment in your voice.
No.
Because you had a condition. You've got to qualify this whole thing. Well, it's not really a Bruce show.
That is true in that, you know, when you finish a Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band show, 9 times out of 10, you know, you have been rocked thoroughly, and it's something of an outer body spiritual experience.
How long have you had this problem?
You didn't expect a bad review of a Springsteen concert out of this guy, did you?
But you said he brought up some things. He brought up...
He referenced What's the Matter with Kansas.
Uh-huh.
He played a song called Part Man, Part Monkey, an unreleased song off...
Racism!
And he, he basically dissed Bush a little bit, talked about evolution. But the show overall was amazing. He dug deep into his catalog, played a lot of lesser-known songs.
Like what?
He played, Part Man, Part Monkey. He played My Beautiful Reward, he opened with. He played a stripped-down acoustic version of The Promised Land, which is a greatest hit, but... drastically different and re-envisioned. And some songs off Nebraska.
Re-envisioned?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, some of his songs, they sound so upbeat and sing-along when it's with the whole band, you don't realize how dark some of them are until you hear them by themselves and you focus on the lyrics.
Wow. Listen to Dan Pashman. Look out, Teray. Someone's going to show up on CNN.
Yeah, man. I mean,
I don't know what you guys have against
Have you
Teray.
Written Rolling Stone?
What don't we have against Teray? Huh? Wow. All right, so let's do this. For those of you who are just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's morning's edition, Cliff Notes. For Friday, Congress may limit combat roles for women. As it stands, most female soldiers would be stationed outside Fort Dix and would only be required to point at Fort Dix and give the thumbs up to people that pass by. Said Fort Dix. Nothing from the woman in the booth there. All right. Graduates fear debt more than terrorists. terrorism. Reacting quickly, Al-Qaeda began issuing high-interest credit cards. The Al-Qaeda visa? Anything? Nothing? All right. Many more graduates feared unemployment than feared terrorism. In fact, several said they were exploring a career opportunities in terrorism. No? Nothing? No. All right. Here we go. On the upside, the graduates said any terrorist attack that wiped out a college loan record would be welcome. Maybe if I read these properly, they'd be funnier. You think that would be right if I read them properly? All right. Cardinal Keeler to boycott Loyola. Oh, we're not going to do that one, are we? Okay, yeah, we are. Cardinal Keeler to boycott Loyola graduation because of keynote speaker Giuliani's views on abortion. As a compromise, Giuliani quietly declined accepting Loyola's honorary Doctor of Abortion degree. Doctor of Abortion. Nothing from the girl. All right, today's phrase, just drop this in the conversation. Ooh, Star Wars. Wake up, sheeple. The Empire is winning. How about that? All right, how's that for a Friday? Take it easy, right?